إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى ومن آياته and from his signs and خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا is that he made from amongst your own selves partners لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا so that you can find peace and tranquility in them وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُم مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً and he made between you love and mercy إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ Indeed, in that is an ayah or signs for people who reflect. This is one of the very beautiful ayat in Surah Ar-Rum that is often quoted, especially at times of marriage and these occasions. People will quote this ayah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle of speaking about his ayat in the creation, Allah talks about the creations of the heaven and the earth. He talks about the creation of the human being. He talks about the diversity amongst mankind. He talks about the lightning and thunder in the sky and the rain coming down from the clouds. All of these things that are ayat. And the ayah is something that directs your attention to Allah, points you to Allah, reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And amongst those ayat, he mentions the fact that he created for us mates, spouses. And so this is something about the nature of the human being, that we're not created by Allah to be alone. We're created to be social, to have relations with other human beings. We live in societies, we live in nations, we live in cultures, we live in neighborhoods, we live in families, and then at the most basic level, we have that incredibly important relationship between man and woman. The relationship between husband and wife. And this is from the wisdom of the way that Allah created the human being. That this is supposed to be a fundamental part of our life. And a place where we find refuge, where we find security, where we find peace. Because life in this world can be difficult sometimes. We have so many challenges that we face. We have so many anxieties, so many fears, so many things to worry about. But that relationship between husband and wife is where you can come home and just be yourself. You don't have to put up those guards that you have outside. You're in the outside world and you have to protect yourself from so many things so that you don't get hurt. But then when you come home and it's just between the husband and the wife, now you can just let your guard down and feel comfortable and feel that you're yourself. And then you get that feeling of peace and tranquility. And Allah says, He put between you. This is a gift from Allah that He put between the spouses. This love and mercy. And this is one of the basic needs of the human being. The human being needs to love and needs to feel loved as well. And so this is something that Islam recognizes. Not only that, it points it out as a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation. Something that should remind us of the greatness of Allah. Something that should cause us to reflect on our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Islam is a religion of love. First and foremost, our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything has to be built on having love for our Creator. So much so that scholars said, you can believe Allah exists. You can believe Allah created you. You can believe there's a day of judgment, all of these things. But if you don't love Allah, you're not a believer. Because it's not enough. Shaytan, Iblis, he knows Allah exists. He knows that Allah created him. He knows he's going to be judged by Allah. But where's the problem? He doesn't have the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that leads him to the submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything in our life starts from this foundation of love. That we love our Creator. We're thankful to Him for what He's given us. And also just because we recognize His perfection, we love Him because of His perfection. And also, it's a religion of love between us as believers. That we have love for each other because of our iman. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. We're compared to a family, brothers. Why? Because the family, they love each other. Right? So the believers, الْمُتَحَابِينَ فِي اللَّهِ. Right? Those that love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so much so that when a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the person that loves the pious people, but he's not at their same level, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell him? الْمَرْءُ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبْ. That the person will be with the one who he loves. Right? So to love the pious people in this dunya is a means by which to be with them in the akhirah. So to love those who love Allah and those who Allah loves is ibadah. It's a way of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then also too, the love between spouses is an important part of the life of a believer. And it's a sunnah from the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Amr ibn al-As. It's a well-known story that he was speaking to him and he said, Ya Rasulullah, من أحب الناس إليك? He asked him, who is the most beloved person to you? And they say that everybody, when they were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he would treat them, they felt like they're the most important person in the world. He would get everyone his full attention and treat them so well that everybody felt as if they're the most beloved person to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they say that Amr, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's expecting him to say you. He feels, even though he knows there's companions that were there before him and have done more than him, but just in that moment, he feels so close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he thinks that he's going to say you. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam respond? Aisha, radiyallahu anha. Immediately he said, my wife, Aisha, the most beloved person to me. So then he asked, min al-rijal, I mean from amongst the men. He said, Abuha, her father, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. So you see here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not only had that deep love for his wives, but he wasn't afraid to say it as well. It wasn't something he was ashamed of. When the people asked him, who do you love the most out of everyone? He said, my wife. Of course. And we know that after the death of Khadija radiyallahu anha, many, many years after she was gone, he would still cry when he remembered her. And he would still treat the people that were close to Khadija with special treatment, just out of remembrance and honoring the memory of that woman that supported him so much and that he loved so much. And when we look at the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where was it that he chose to spend the last moments of his life? I remember one time they made a video, they went to an Islamic conference and they went around asking random people, how do you want to die? Right? So many people say, I hope I die in sujood. Right? I hope I die in prayer. I hope I die while I'm reading the Quran. I hope I die when I'm in the masjid. Some people say, I hope I die doing something fi sabilillah. Some people even said, I hope I die in a very painful way so it takes away all my sins before I meet Allah. But the thing that made me think, nobody said they wanted to die the way the Prophet ﷺ died. What was the way that the Prophet ﷺ died? With his head laying in the lap of his wife. Because he's going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to meet the one that he loves, his beloved. He's going to meet his creator, who his love for his creator is everything in his life. And so what is he doing in the last minutes in this dunya? To spend them with his beloved from this dunya, his wife. So this is a sunnah from the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to live in these relationship between man and wife, and for that relationship to be built upon love, because Allah himself tells us that it's from his mercy and from his signs that he puts that love in the hearts of the people. And traditionally, if you look in Islamic culture, people recognized the importance and the greatness of this love. You find many books written by big scholars, big mashayikh, about love. People who all their other books are about fiqh and following the rules, and you know all of these things, the typical things that you think that shuyukh are talking about. And then they have books like Ibn al-Qayyim, he has Rawdatul Muhibbin, the gardens of those who love. And then the most famous book and the most well known in Islamic culture about love, Tawqul Hamama Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri. Ibn Hazm, he is a very interesting person, highly intelligent person, and someone who reached a level in his understanding that he started making his own ijtihad. So he writes books in fiqh al-muhalla bil-athar, where he brings his own opinions and argues with all of the different madhahib. So they say he was a person, he was encyclopedic in his knowledge of fiqh. He is a faqih. That is his job by training. He's a scholar of Islamic law. But just as famous as his book, Al-Muhalla, that is one of the most extensive books in comparing the fiqh of all of the different scholars, is his book about love. And I just want to read with you one paragraph from his book where he defines love. And it's probably the best definition you'll ever find of love from anyone. Look, anything that all of the philosophers from all of the different cultures around the world have said, all of the poets, Shakespeare, whoever it may be, what they tried to say about love, none of them can come close to what Ibn Hazm al-Faqih al-Zahiri said about what love really is. He says, الحب عزك الله أوله هزل وآخره جد. He said, love, the beginning of it is hazl. In the beginning, it's something light, something you don't take seriously. It's play. It's something fun. It's entertainment. But the ending of it is seriousness. Right? Because this is the way that people are. When they first start to fall in love, they get butterflies in their stomach. They're laughing. They're giggling. They feel like a small child again. But then it grows and it grows. Then it becomes very serious. Such to the level that if things go wrong, it can destroy somebody. Right? How many of us know somebody that they had their heart broken and they couldn't recover from that for a long time? How many times we see stories in the news about somebody, because they had their heart broken, they go out and they do something crazy, they hurt themselves or hurt other people. It's serious. Right? And that's why in Islam we have bawabit. We have rules. You have guidelines that you have to stick to. That mawadda, that love between man and woman, it's something put there by Allah. But you want to act upon that and express that, it has to be mundabit. It has to be put in place with a contract that ensures the rights of the people because of how serious it is. Then he continues, دَقَّتْ مَعَانِيهِ لِجَلَالَتِهَا عَنْ أَنْ تُوصَفْ. SubhanAllah, this is a very deep phrase. He says, the meanings of love, because of their grandness, because of their greatness, are too subtle to be explained. He said they're so big that they're too subtle to really be explained to the people or to be described.
فَلَا تُدْرَقُ حَقِيقَتُهَا إِلَّا بِالْمُعَانَاهِ.
So nobody knows the real reality of love except with المعاناه, struggling, going through the hardship, experiencing it, going through the process with all of the difficulties that come along with it.
وَلَيْسَ بِمُنْكَرٍ فِي الدِّيَانَةِ وَلَا بِمَحْظُورٍ فِي الشَّرِيعَةِ.
And it's not something that's rejected by religion or not allowed by the sharia, by the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
إِذِ الْقُلُوبُ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَّلُ.
Because the hearts are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this goes back to the ayah that we started with, جَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّ. Allah puts that love in the hearts of the people. So this is a reality of what it means to be a human being, and it's a reality of what it means to be a Muslim and to be upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Part of your completeness of your iman is to feel that love in your heart and to build a family based upon that love according to the rules given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we have a story from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, one of the scholars of the four madahib. He had a close friend from amongst az-zuhad, from amongst the people who were known for their ibadah. And I believe, if I remember correctly, it was Bishr al-Hafim, but I'm not 100% sure. But he was praising this person, because this was somebody that spent their whole life in ibadah, dedicating themselves always to dhikr, to reading Quran, to helping people in need. His whole life, he's the example of what it means just to be an ibadah all of the time. And he was praising the person and he said, he was almost perfect if only he had gotten married. And he said, this was where he fell short. That he didn't reach completeness because he cut himself off, thinking that he's cutting himself off just purely for being with Allah all the time. But no, part of the way that you're supposed to be with Allah is by being with other people. And one of those most important ways of being with other people is by having that spouse and living the way that Allah made the human being to live. So this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have love in our hearts for Allah, we have love in our hearts for each other, and we have love in our hearts for our spouses. And so this is not something that we should be shy about, or that we should reject, or think that is not supposed to be the way of the Muslim. But lastly, we have to recognize that our concept of love in Islam and where it comes from is very different than what we're taught and told in the culture of the world today. And the main problem with the way that love is taught in the movies and, you know, the TV shows and all of these things that are influencing people all around the world now comes from a concept from Western culture that has nothing to do with Islam, which is the concept of the soulmate. That for each person, there's one right person who they were meant to be with, and that's the only person that they can truly love, and until they find that person, they can never be happy. Well, this is not the way of Islam. The way of Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loved Khadija, he loved Aisha, he loved Maymuna, he loved Zainab, he loved all of his wives. But you can have love in your heart for more than one person. And women as well, they could get married to a man and she loves him with her whole heart and then he passes away, or they get divorced and she marries another man and then she loves that man as well too. It's not that there's just only one person that you are meant to be with, and if you don't find that person, you'll never be happy. Why is this important? Because what's the suluk? What's the way of life in Western culture that's based on the idea of you have to find your soulmate? Is that, how do you know if it's your soulmate? You have to test it out first. So that's where you get the concept of dating, right? That people don't get married, they first spend time with the person, live, do all of the things married people do, but without any contract, without any obligation, without any rights being protected. Maybe they even live together for a while, and then if they feel like they're in love, and then something goes wrong, they say, oh no, it must not have been the person that I was meant to be with. And then they go and try it again with someone else, and then someone else, and then eventually, maybe when they get tired of trying to look anymore, then they say, okay, fine, I'll just go ahead and marry this person. In Islam, love, as we said, is something that's put in our hearts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's something that grows. Their concept of finding the soulmate, you have to be in love, so you know it's your soulmate, and then you get married. Now in Islam, it's the opposite. You get married first, right? You get married, and then the love grows over time, right? Because, and I'm directing this mostly to the young people that aren't married yet. Those of us who have been married, we know the reality of this. But people who haven't got married yet, you need to know this so that you go about things in the right way. When you fall in love, it's very powerful, as we say. It's like a drug, it's like khamr. It makes the people not think exactly clearly. Right? So that's why when you're choosing the person that you're going to start your family with, the person that you're going to live your life with, this is one of the most important decisions that you'll ever make in your life. So you have to be clear-headed. That's why the traditional way is you make those decisions before you have the emotions. Because once the emotions are there, you can't think clearly. So you start making the decision rationally. Okay, do me and this person have shared goals? Is this the type of person that I want to raise my kids? Is my family and her family going to be able to get along and be on the same page? All of these factors go into deciding. And then that's why you have your family involved as well. Because you need some outside advice or someone who can look, not from your angle, which is probably just, I want to hurry up and get married as soon as I can, right? Is the way that most young people are thinking. So you do all of this, and then once you've made the decision that, okay, this is somebody that I can live with, that I can build my life with, everything outwardly appears that would be able to make something work, then the people get married, and then when they live together, جَعَلُ اللَّهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Then Allah puts that love in the hearts. When you struggle together, when you experience things together, when you go through the hardships together, when you have that first child together, when you move into that first house together, when you, you know, change jobs, when you go through a point of time where your money goes down, all of these different situations that you go through, when you live those together, you grow with each other, and that's where the love in the hearts for the people grow and is gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all people who have love in our hearts first and foremost for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love for Habibillah, love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then love between us and our spouses. And أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. فاليوم أحمد الله تعالى على نعمة الإسلام هذا الدين العظيم الذي مبناه على الحب. ففي المقام الأول أهم شيء في حياة المسلم حبه لخالقه حبه لله وهو المحور الذي تدور عليه شعونه كلها. ثم الله تعالى أمرنا بالحب فيما بيننا. الله يحب المتحابين في الله، فحبنا لله نحبه أولا، وحبنا في الله فنحب بعضنا بعضا في سبيل الله، وكذلك حبنا من الله، فالحب في الله، فالحب لله وفي الله ومن الله، جعل بينكم مودة ورحمة. ومن حبنا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حبنا لسنته، ومن سنن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حبه لأزواجه، وكان يعتز بذلك. فإذا سئل من أحب الناس إليك، أجاب باسم زوجته. وقد قال الله تعالى: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. فأراد الله أن يختبر ادعاءنا أننا نحب الله، فما هو الدليل على حبك لله؟ اتباعك للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ومن اتباعك للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سننه في الزواج وحبه لأزواجه، ونتيجة ذلك أن الله يحبك. فأنصحكم وأنصح نفسي: اجعلوا للحب حظا كبيرا من حياتك، حبا لله وحبا في الله وحبا من الله، واجعلوا حبكم لأزواجكم عبادة لله تعالى تؤجر عليه وتوفق إن شاء الله تعالى. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. قوموا إلى الصلاة.